Well, today I'm going to be preaching a little bit different than you've probably ever heard these next two parables. These next two parables that we're going to be speaking on is the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the flower. And they're short little parables. Yes, the children may take off. You folks are doing great. You understand where you're going. That one wanted to take off, and he's not quite old enough, is he? He said, yes. Did you hear him say that? So today, turn in your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Matthew. We're in chapter 13, looking at the parables. And we're going to be looking here at Matthew 13, beginning in the 31st verse, and continuing on our parables. But like I said, the name of this sermon is Strange Trees and Infested Flower. And many of you are piling in, wait a minute, you know, we've understood these parables since we were kids. They were taught to us in infested flower, strange trees. What are you talking about, Pastor? Well, let's read what God's Word says. Amen? 31 through 35. We're going to read it together, all of us. That way nobody has an excuse, okay? He presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. This is smaller than all other seeds, but when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." He spoke another parable, saying to them, "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three pecks of flour until it was all leavened." All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables. He did not speak to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, "I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the foundation of the world." Now, most of you have heard these, and you've heard it taught that the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which is this tiny little seed, and it's the small one of the smallest of the garden seeds, and if I had one here, it's maybe a 1/16 of an inch in size, just a tiny little thing, okay? Some of them are even smaller. They may be just a little over a 1/32. Small seed. Small seed. And this guy takes it and he plants it in the ground and it grows up and it becomes a mighty tree. And the kingdom of God is going to be like this giant mighty tree. And they always show a tree when they show this mustard plant, right? Well, let me tell you, that's wrong. Jesus is a man of integrity. Jesus is a man of understanding. And we need to understand this from the day in which, what is that called, Marion? When we understand it from the day in which it's given, from the words in which it's spoken, and to the people in who it's spoken. That is the HGRT, historical, grammatical, rhetorical, and theological method. That is hermeneutics, okay? The HGRT method. I'm so glad she remembered that, because that is something I want to teach again someday, is teach hermeneutics to this church again, because it's a big class, isn't it, Marion? There's a lot there, because we need to understand it from the historical, grammatical, rhetorical, and theological words that it already is. We're not to lead into it. We are to take out of it. If we receive from it, it's called exegesis. If we read into it, it's called eisegesis, and eisegesis is always wrong. That was eisegetically given to us by the church because the church wanted it to be something good. But I want you to look at where this parable is. It's at the end of a teaching. Jesus has spoken on all the parables that you've learned from us up until this point in time. He began with the parable of the sower. Okay? And then from the parable of the sower, he goes to the tares among the wheat. And then from the tares among the wheat, he goes to these last two. And he's just about at the end of this teaching. because he's going to go into a private session with his disciples. This was the public teaching. This is the last portion. So why would he change something in the middle of what he was saying? Okay, here's my point. Let's look at this parable. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. This is funny. To the people of this day, they'd have been looking at him and saying, we don't sow mustard seeds. Does anybody know why Hebrews don't sow mustard seeds? Because it's against the law. Rabbinic law says you will not plant mustard seed in a cultivated field. What? Do you think the people of his day would not have known that he was telling them to do something that the Torah forbids? How would they have perceived this? Jesus was telling them something here for a purpose. That's why I said strange trees. How many of you know what a mustard plant looks like? How big is it, Bob?
They get very big.
How big?
Well, my little body does see the condo had one, and it was up as high as his garage. Yeah.
Photos, please. That's a mustard field. Okay? That's a mustard field. Next. There's a mustard plant. This is a mustard plant growing in the side of a field, and it's that one there is probably 8 feet tall. Okay, now they do get bigger. Next slide. This one is in Israel. It's in a garden dedicated to Pope John Paul II. And if you see the stone there, it's actually written in Hebrew in the first two. Ryan and I kind of figure the third one there has got to be Italian because the Pope's from Rome, and then the last one, of course, is in English. But that forest was dedicated to Pope John Paul. And the mustard plant there, if you'll notice that mustard plant is well over 10 feet tall. Okay? That's one of the reasons why the Hebrews would not allow it to be planted as a crop in a field. Because it literally infests the field and it becomes a nuisance because it continually regenerates year after year after year. Because these things get thousands upon thousands of seeds on them. And they just cast them. And when they cast them, they throw them several feet. So it's kind of hard to keep it under control. So the rabbinic law says you cannot plant them in a cultivated field. If they grow along the side, you can harvest it and use it. Mustard's not a bad thing to Israeli people, but it's not something they plant as a crop. That first picture was in Pakistan, okay, where it is a crop. And they do get big, all right? They do get big. But I want us to understand something. Jesus first starts out with something that is against Torah. And Jesus understood Torah. All right? Jesus would not violate Torah. He was a sinless man. Amen? So why would he tell them to break Torah? He wasn't. I want you to think about what's going on here. God planted a small seed about the size of a mustard seed. Remember, this is a likeness. Okay? He's not telling them to plant mustard. He's telling them to plant something else. He's telling them to plant the church. But he's also warning them because something's going to happen to that church. Something's going to happen to the kingdom. And he wants us all to understand it. And he gave us the warnings for it because these two parables, they're actually warnings. They're actually warnings about the church and what it's going to become and what we need to be watching for. Because as we look at this word, what is the next thing it says? Not just that it's the smallest seed, but when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants. I just showed you that. I mean, that's a pretty big plant. Would you want a bunch of that in your garden? Okay, it's huge. Okay, it says, then it becomes a tree. This thing is not a tree. It will become a shrub. Okay, and I want you to understand something. Did not Jesus himself preach on, if you are in Christ, if you are in God, God prunes every tree that bears good fruit, right? He prunes it so it doesn't get wild, so it doesn't just get out there. He prunes it. This thing just goes nuts. Something's going on here. Because now he says this thing is going to get so big that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Now, Brother David spoke about those birds. Do you remember what those birds represented back in the parable of the sower? What were the birds? Because the birds came and ate the seed, remember? What were the birds? What were they? That's not a rhetorical question. I'm looking for an answer. The birds were messengers of Satan. They came and they stole the word right away from the people. Remember, the seed that was sowed was the seed of God, the wisdom of God, the word of God being sown into the field. We're the fields, right? And that seed was stolen right away by the birds. Now, if the birds are good, why would Jesus have spoken of them as being bad in the first place, and now all of a sudden they're being good, and he's talking in the same sermon? Wouldn't that confuse the people horribly? We need to understand, this sermon needs to be understood in context of itself. So all of a sudden now, we've got this unpruned thing that is just going wild, and it's getting huge beyond compare, and the birds of the air, which are supposed to be the messengers of Satan, the messengers of doom, are nesting in its branches. It's not bad enough that they're coming to eat it, but they're going to live there. What's that speak of the church? What does that speak to the kingdom? This is a warning. This is a warning that once it gets going, Satan's going to get involved with it. And this thing is going to get out of God's control because man is going to take it over and evil is going to come into it. And it's just going to get wild. It's going to grow. And this thing's going to get to the point where you're even going to be able to see the infestation of the evil in it, living in it. And you're really not going to be able to tell it from any other weed or tree or anything else. It's going to be no different than the forest. So when we look at this parable, I'm telling you right now, it is wholly different than what the early church wanted it to be. The early church wanted it to be something good. They wanted it to be, and please, this is people being people, right? But if we take this back to the historical, grammatical, rhetorical, and theological truth, we cannot say that Jesus says one thing here and another thing here. This is why people say, well, the Bible's so confusing because it talks about something over here and then it changes it over here. No, men interpret it wrong. But if we understand what Jesus is trying to tell us, if we understand Jesus gave us warnings through each of the teachings of the evil that was going to come into this thing, here he gives two final examples. We see strange trees. This shouldn't be a tree. At the most, it should be a shrub. And if it's truly a shrub that is being used for good, it's going to be pruned. It's going to be held back. It's going to be restrained. By whom? God. By the gardener. Is the gardener anywhere in this picture? Absolutely not. This thing is left to itself. And it just goes nuts. What has happened to the kingdom here on earth? It has gone nuts because it has devoted itself in a large portion to God. Amen? It is only through the church committed that we stay under the pruner's knife. And he keeps us fruitful. He keeps us within the bounds that he has set. Okay? And if you look at the first slide, that's a wild mustard seed. Go back to slide one, Ryan. Ryan, slide one. Sorry. Slide one. See how pretty that is? That's because it's pruned. It's taken care of. That's a productive field. That can be managed. But when it gets wild and so full of itself, it can't be managed. it takes on a life of its own. The next parable is very similar to this parable. And again, we need to look at it in context. It says here, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven. Now, I need to ask this question. When in all of Scripture have you ever heard leaven spoken of in a good manner? It's not. Nowhere in Scripture. But all of a sudden, this one place is going to be good. No, folks. Leaven is always meant to be something bad. Every time the Scripture uses leaven, it is something bad. It's not something good. And I want you to think about this because I want you to understand this. This is what Jesus is saying. He tells us first that the kingdom is going to start out small, a seed, and that was the people right there. And it's going to grow, but then it's going to get nuts, all right? Now he's coming back and he's saying, okay, here's how it's going to start. The evil is also going to start out small. How small is a single cell of leaven? You know, a seed is one thing. A leaven cell, a yeast cell, is wholly other. It is microscopic, okay? You've got to look at it with a microscope. It's that little in order to see it. This is what he's saying. This evil that's going to come in is so small, but it's like leaven, which is taken. And we're not talking much. It's like leaven, which is taken. And a woman, and she does what with it? She hides it. That's something all the church is supposed to do, right, Ruth Ann? Hide. We're to hide our faith. Oh, don't let anybody know. You know, I think it's amazing. I just read a story from ICII about a gentleman whose children need help because he was put in jail for being a Christian in a Muslim country. He was arrested for speaking the truth of Jesus Christ in a Muslim country to the point where he now has lost his sanity and because he was beaten and tortured and terrorized in the prison. He doesn't even recognize his children, and his children need help. Okay, here I am. I'm thinking, oh yeah, he should have just kept his mouth shut and hid that, right? And not let anybody know he was a Christian. Wrong. We are to take it out and give it away freely, no matter what it costs. Remember, salvation is free, but it's going to cost you everything. So we're supposed to hide it, right? How can the early church fathers have said this was a picture of the goodness of the church? You don't hide nothing. I can understand it because the reality is how many of the people, when that was given to us as how it was to be interpreted, how many of the people actually had the Scriptures that they could read it for themselves? None. Yeah. The only people who had it were the priests. So the priests got to tell them what it meant, and they've hung on to it ever since. The neat thing is there are whole books out there written about this stuff. That the early church fathers, the Roman church fathers, how they used it to control the masses. And now we're seeing the light of the Word. And we're hearing the warnings of Christ. Because he says, man, you're not supposed to be hiding it. But anyhow, she hid it. And she hid it in 3 pecks of flour until it all became leaven. In other words, it was unnoticeable until it happened. And then it was too late. Because now the whole thing is leaven. What about the church? It's what has happened. We all turned a blind eye and a deaf ear, didn't we? Oh, and you know, those people, it'll go away. It'll go away. How'd that work for us? It hasn't. The evil one has crept in and has truly, truly, truly messed up the church. Jesus told us it was going to happen. He warned us from the very beginning, before it ever started, before Pentecost, before the cross, he told us that this stuff was going to come. You know, I think it's funny because I've heard a lot of people tell me, you know, Jesus didn't say a whole lot of prophetic stuff. Really? Have you read the book? Yeah, Jesus was more into the preaching of the day. He didn't do anything out into the future. Really? I mean, there's a whole, what, 50 words here? And he just talked about the church from the beginning to the end and what it was going to look like and what was going to happen. Brothers and sisters, we need to be on watch in this little church, because all it takes is a little leaven or a small seed to start this thing into something that it's never been intended to be. We have to watch our hearts. That's where it starts. Don't be watching. And this is the one thing that I love. You know, when I'm preaching sermons, I love when I'm watching husbands and wives, because wives will ultimately, he's talking to you. No, he's talking to you. Okay? We need to check this out, right? Nothing else, no one else. We're the ones who has to get it right. God will deal with your neighbor, okay? And if you think otherwise, he'll reveal that to you too. So when we think about this word, we've got to start with ourselves. Let's get out the leaven. Let's stop hiding it, because we all have hidden leaven. And we all have these little seeds that we're just carrying around, and we're hoping that they never start growing, because if they do, it's going to turn into a horrible root that we'll never get rid of. That's why the rabbinic law says no mustard seed in a cultivated field, because once it gets started, you'll never get it to stop. We need to understand the scripture as it is written, as it is given, as it is meant. Amen. Take the word of the Lord, entrust it into your heart, and move it from there into action in your life. Let us take this warning and heed it well, that we may check ourselves and then check our church. Amen. Because we want to grow a good crop, 30, 60, 100-fold. Would you pray with me this day? Father God, we thank you so much for this word. We thank you for the word of truth that you have given us, and for the understanding, Lord, because this which was supposed to be a good tree and this thing with the flower, Lord, now we see them for what they really were intended. That, Lord, they're warnings, and we need to heed the warning labels. And we thank you, Lord, that you give them to us, and through the Holy Spirit, we can open our eyes, our hearts, and our beings. Lord, help us to understand even more of your word, that we may become your living word into this world and in our own lives, more importantly, because that's where transformation begins. That's where revival begins. And that's where life happens. Father, thank you for the love of your Son, who is Christ Jesus, our Lord. And the church says, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA, 17083.